today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, as well as in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 in Matthew, and the 7th chapter in the Gospel of Luke. We find that Christ came down from the mountain, and when he came down from the mountain, he entered into the city called Capernaum. This city, it appears that he dwelt in. He resided in this city, probably in the house of Peter's mother's wife. We find likewise that in this particular city, he performed many miracles, many wonders. This city was greatly blessed in this respect with the personal ministry of Christ. And when he entered into this city, Capernaum, we find a certain centurion came unto him, beseeching him that he would come down and heal his servant, who was grievously tormented and was at the point of death. We have here a centurion. A centurion is a man that had command of a band of soldiers, usually 100 men. We read of various centurions in the scripture. There was a centurion, if you remember, at the cross of Christ. When Christ gave up the ghost, then this centurion cried out and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." We find in the Acts of the Apostles that there was a centurion by the name of Cornelius. He was a man that feared God with his house, and we find that Peter, he had a revelation from heaven to go down to this man's house and to speak words unto him so that he would be given to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Centurions are spoken of throughout the book of the Acts. Whenever there was a tumult, whenever Paul was going to be taken prisoner, you find that centurions gave commands and they rescued him. This centurion was a Roman. He was a Gentile. He was then a heathen by birth. But he lived in this city called Capernaum. He had been stationed there by his commander, and this man was entirely different than all other Roman centurions. This man feared God. He had the grace of God in his heart. What a wonder. A miracle, my hearers, for God to come into the Gentiles' heart and let so many Israelites in their sins. This man revealed that he had the grace of God in his heart, in all his actions and in all his deeds. We find this man that he loved the Jewish people. He not only loved the Jewish people, but he likewise loved their religion. He worshiped God in truth and in spirit. He loved them so much, and their religion and the word of God, that he even built for them a synagogue. He must have been a wealthy man to be enabled to build a place of worship. Anyone that has his heart going out to God and has an opportunity to give to the service of God, and especially to the building of a place of worship, and wishes to give all that they can, and must have something in their heart over for God and for his service. So that this man was an exception amongst the Roman centurions. This man revealed his love and his affection likewise, even amongst those whom he commanded. He had their respect. He had then a servant. We read of various servants in the scripture. A servant usually was a person that was taken prisoner in war. These commanders, they took these men prisoners and they brought them back to their country and they made slaves out of them. They made servants out of them. Sometimes they used them in their own homes. Sometimes they exchanged them for others. Sometimes they sold them to others as slaves. Sometimes, under the Old Testament dispensation, many Jews that were poor, they would sell themselves as servants to various masters. How many are brought to the verge of the grave and brought back again by the goodness of God, and they never acknowledge God for what he has done. They forget him. They go on again in their sinful course of life. And it is sad to say many of them perish in their sins. It is true that God must sanctify all afflictions and losses to our souls, or they do not benefit us or profit us for eternity. This man then had a servant that was sick, very sick. And now where he saw this servant on the verge of death, this centurion, as I said, had the grace of God in his soul. And he had heard about Jesus. What wonders he had done. How many miracles he had performed. How many had been brought to him in many afflictions that they had, and he but spake the word, and they were made whole. Now this centurion immediately became exercised concerning his servant. Here he was going to die, he was going to lose him. And where he had heard of Jesus, and probably he had heard how that Christ had healed that particular man that had been brought to him. The lesson we had 3 weeks ago, they carried a man on a bed to him who had the same disease, palsy. And they led him down through the roof of the house in the front of Christ, and he healed him. And where this centurion probably had heard of this, he became exercised that the same Jesus was able, was mighty, to cure his servant of the same disease. This servant, this centurion then, his faith began to grow. What I mean by that he had such a measure of faith given to him to believe that this was the Messiah, that this was the Christ, that this was the Son of God, that he was able to do all things. And he believed inwardly that all he had to do was to speak the word and he would be healed. Such a measure of faith that this centurion received from heaven in his soul. And now we read in the Matthew that he himself went to Christ. But in Luke, the chapter that was read, if you took particular notice, he did not go himself. He sent the elders of the Jews to Christ. The reason that he did this was because he himself was a Gentile. He was a heathen. You know, these heathens, these Gentiles, were called dogs by the Jews. They didn't esteem a Gentile at all. But this one they did. This centurion, he was loved by these Jewish people. He was an exception. And now instead of he himself going to Christ, he sent the elders of the Jews to Christ. Now this is something. That these elders of the Jews were willing to go for a Roman, for a Gentile, to go to Christ, to beseech him that he would heal this centurion servant. Where the Jews had no dealings whatsoever with the Gentiles, where they weren't even allowed to go into their homes. But this was an exception, I say. And these elders of the Jews, they were ready immediately to go. The reason why that they were ready to go was because they esteemed this man. They held him in very high estimation. They thought the world of this man for what he had done. And now they came to Christ, the elders of the Jews, beseeching Christ that he would come down to this centurion's house and heal his servant, who was dreadfully afflicted with the palsy. Some of you know that this palsy is a very dreadful disease, how that it afflicts the mind and the body of people. Some people are afflicted that they tremble and shake all over. Others become paralyzed on one side. Some they lose their senses. In whatever shape or form this disease fell upon this young man, he still was at the point of death. And now they came to Christ and beseeched him that he would come down to the centurion's house because he was worthy that he should do this for him. For he says, the Jews said, he loveth our nation and he hath built for us a synagogue. And now Christ immediately was ready to go down with him. You remember there was a nobleman that came to Christ concerning his son that was at the point of death. And when he beseeched Christ to come down to his house, Christ spake to the man and said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And this man was insistent that Christ come down. Oh, hurry, he said, haste and come down. But in the course of the conversation, Christ gave that man just that measure of faith that he believed the word that Christ spake. And he went home and his son was healed. But here we have a man, a centurion, a Roman, a Gentile, who had such a measure of faith that he didn't go himself, that he sent these Jews to come and bring Christ to his house. But they thought he was worthy of that. Well, to you and I, probably he was also. He did many good things for these Jews, and he loved them, and he served God faithfully. Surely he was worthy that Christ should come down to his house. I'm talking outwardly, that he should do that. But we did not know what was going on in the heart of this centurion. These people, they may think a lot of other people, just as in this world. We think a lot of others that we see in our daily occupation. We esteem others that have wisdom and understanding. They have a very nice personality. And we find there are individuals in this life that we also are affected to, and which we would go out of our way to do things for. We think they're worthy of it. So the Jews thought that this man was worthy of what Christ should do for his servant. And now Christ goes down with these Jews. And as he's going down, we find that Christ is getting very near to his house. And someone must have told this centurion that Christ was coming. And in this chapter, Luke, he sent friends to Christ, speaking unto Christ and saying that he should not trouble himself to come down. He says, I am not worthy, he says, that thou should enter under the roof of my house. But he says, speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Neither do I esteem myself worthy to come, he says. We have been in this Gentile, this centurion, that the measure of faith that he had revealed itself in his unworthiness. Do you know what unworthiness is, my hearers? Have you ever felt yourself to be unworthy? What does unworthy mean? Without merit, without value, worthless. You ever feel yourself to be like that, my hearers? If you have, then you'll have a great measure of faith in the sight of God. So that's what this centurion had. He had such a measure of faith that the more that he thought about this glorious person, that the more that he heard of him, the more that he sank away in himself. He was unworthy that Christ should come under the roof of his house. Now you know it's written in the Bible that he had no form or no comeliness. If you and I had seen Christ when he was here upon earth, actually, visibly, with our eyes, we would have never given him a second look. That's how he looked. Now this centurion saw with a different eye. He saw by the eye of faith. He saw in him the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He saw him, that great and glorious Messiah. And the more that he saw of him, the more unworthy that he became that such a personage should come under the roof of his house. And therefore he deemed himself not even worthy to go, for he felt himself to be but a Gentile. He felt himself to be such a sinner, such a dog, that he wasn't worthy that he should even come in the presence of such a person. But he sent his friends, and these friends spake unto Christ the words that he had given them to speak. And now this centurion shows forth what a measure of faith that he had. My hearers, if you have any faith, and this faith begins to grow, it grows in that respect that you begin to get nothing. You become nothing. You become the greatest of sinners, the vilest of the creatures here upon earth. And you become so small and so mean and so valueless in your own self that he becomes everything in your sight. Have you ever had that in this life? Have you ever been placed in your unworthiness? My hearers, if the grace of God has ever entered into your soul, I will take this just as a little example, and that's this. Have you ever sat down at your supper table and you were to offer up prayer before you were going to eat? And as you began to offer up prayer, the goodness of God so affected you that he was so good to you, that he fed you, that he provided for you, that he cared for you, that he gave you everything necessary for this life, that he gave you health and strength and employment. And as you were meditating on this in prayer, the goodness of God became so great, and you became so unworthy in your own feelings that God was so good to you. You ever had that? You ever sink away in your unworthiness before God because of his goodness and his kindness towards you? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. I believe every child of God experiences this at times. And now as faith begins to grow and you are given a certain measure of faith to believe that he cares for you, that he loves you, that he has bestowed grace upon you. Oh, as this grows, my hearers, it becomes such a wonder that such a creature sinks away in wonder and admiration that he would have anything to do with the likes that you find yourself to be. All this unworthiness, what a blessing it is if you have had it in this life. If you have had it, then you will look forward to it again and again. All to be nothing, my hearers, is to be everything in the sight of God. This centurion then was in a very good place for himself. And he said unto them that he had not found such a great faith, no, not even in Israel. This centurion, this Roman, He commended him for the faith that he was exercising in this particular case. Why did he commend that? Why, because he was the author of it. He had given this servant, the centurion, that faith. And the Lord always glorifies himself in his own work. And therefore he spake in this way unto these Jews, setting before them an example. Here was a centurion, a Roman, a Gentile, called a dog by the Jews, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And here were so many Israelites following him, who had been so privileged that God had given unto them the divine oracles. He had given unto them his law and his testimony, and he had come unto his own, and his own received him not. They believed not in him, even historically. They rejected him. And here was a Gentile, a Roman. He believed in him and revealed his faith in this way. And Christ commended the faith of this man, that he had not found such faith. No, not in Israel. And then he spake that there would be many that would come from the east and from the west, and would sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom, they would be cast out into outer darkness, where there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, what a sermon it was to these Jews, my hearers. Here then Christ explained to these Jews what was going to take place, that many Gentiles would be gathered in and be given to believe in him, and would eventually enter into heaven and sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they called themselves the children of Abraham, but they had not the faith that Abraham had. They rejected Christ. And my hearers, what Christ said, these children of the kingdom would be cast out into outer darkness. Look at the poor Jewish race to this day. They are in darkness. They will not believe in the Messiah. They are still under the curse of God, resting upon them for crucifying the Lord of glory and rejecting the Messiah who came unto them. Oh, what darkness rests upon this race of people even to this day. And how many have died in their sins throughout the ages that this world has stood, and have entered into eternal darkness, into outer darkness, where there will be nothing else but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My hearers, we have been speaking unto you about this centurion servant. Christ spake unto those that came unto him, beseeching him to come down, that this man had such a great faith. But in the Matthew, he says to this centurion himself, "Be it unto thee as thou hast believed." And he went back to his house, and he found that this servant was healed. It all rested upon the word that Jesus would speak. "Speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." That was needed. If he spake that he shouldn't be healed, he wouldn't be healed. If he spake that he would, he would be healed. How wonderful this faith centered upon the word. Have you ever been in despondency? Have you ever been cast down in your feelings, in your expectations of being saved and being delivered? Have you ever been cut off, I would say, in all your hopes, and brought so low in your feelings that you thought you never had anything of God? that it was a lost matter for you. And in this state, it pleased God to bring you under the ministry of His Word. Or in your desperation, you took up the Bible and you just opened it and it fell at a certain place. And that Word came home with power divine to your heart. And that Word caused you again to hope and lifted you up out of that state in which you was in and gave you to believe that in due time all would be well with your soul for time and eternity. Oh, what a mercy if ever you have had a word from this King in your heart. Have you ever had one? Has He ever spoken to you? Maybe you have many doubts, many fears. You're wondering whose voice it is. You're wondering whether it was of God. You wonder sometimes whether it was just up here and it wasn't here. That's what troubles you the most. Some of us know many scriptures. And sometimes when we are in states and in fits of unbelief and doubts, scriptures come into our minds. But have you ever had one come into your heart? And has it ever broken you to pieces and given you to believe what that word said would most certainly take place? All my hearers, this centurion wanted a word from Christ to believe that his servant would be made whole. Do you want a word from Christ? Do you need a word from Him? Have you ever said like this centurion inside, "Lord, speak but the word, and my soul will be healed"? Do you believe it sincerely that if he but spake the word, your soul would be saved? Are you waiting for this word? Are you looking, desiring, praying, seeking that he would speak this word to your heart? Oh, I hear you say, "I am just like the centurion. I am so unworthy that he should speak a word to me. So unworthy that he should come into my heart, come under the roof of my heart and save me. Such a sinner like I am. Such a creature who daily transgresses his laws and does nothing else but sin and evil in his holy sight. Oh, I wish that he would say something to my soul that would give me that assurance that I am his child, that he loves me." Oh, I think there are some souls that are waiting for such a word to be assured, to have a confirmation that there is grace in your soul. And now we see this centurion was much exercised about his servant because he had this dreadful disease, palsy. And his faith went out to Christ. My hearers, have any of you got grace in your hearts? That's a question, isn't it? Sometimes we put that question to ourselves and say, "Have I got grace?" But if you have grace and you have members in your family, if you see them in their sins, they have a dreadful disease called palsy. And this disease most certainly will take their life, because it is by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And now if you have grace, I am sure that at times you see these poor creatures in their sins, and you are sometimes so affected by it. Oh, if you only could bring them to Jesus. If you only had them laid upon your heart, like this centurion had his servant laid upon his heart. in an army, you could bring them to Jesus and say, Lord, speak but the word, and they will not go on any longer in their sins. Speak but the word, Lord, and they shall be healed. Oh, I'm sure at times you are exercised about your loved ones, those that are your children, if they be your parents, whoever they may be, if they are flesh and blood of you, at times you are bringing them to Christ, that they likewise may be saved. What a blessing, my hearers, if God lays them upon our hearts and we can get loose of them. This is God's work to do this. Oh, if we have any sons or daughters who are so disobedient, who probably have left home, who care not to come home anymore. Oh, there are some children that are so bad. And when we have such children, if we are parents that are praying to God, sometimes it pleases God to bind them upon our hearts. We can't leave God alone for them. They seem to carry most of our prayers. Where others are obedient and good, and you think we would bring them? No. We have one maybe in the family. That's, I would say, like the prodigal son. He took everything and he left home. And that person is bound upon the heart of the parent. And that parent has sometimes a word. The Lord speaks sometimes to that parent to assure it that there's a time coming in the life of that boy or girl when he will manifest his grace in their hearts. And sometimes the parent dies, doesn't see anything of it in this life, but God comes. The time arrives when God visits it. All my hearers, if you have sons and daughters, if you have any relatives in your family and you are a praying person, oh, let me entreat you to carry them unto God. I know you can't bring them in truth and in uprightness. I wish I could bring my own that way. But it pleases God at times to lay them upon your soul. May you be given to do so. And if ever you have had a word from Him, oh, His word, that's worth more than anything here below. His word will stand. His word will be fulfilled. And most assuredly, He spake unto the centurion, and his faith was not deceived. He received what his faith had been holding out for. And if you have any measure of faith, you most assuredly will receive what God is working in your heart, those desires and longings for. He never planted them there not to give it. Oh, no. He most surely will give it in due time. The Lord bless the lesson this day to your hearts and to my heart. That's all for today.